any attribution data is only going to be as good as the data that is being collected. If you still haven't got the website compliant to consent mode, and I know it's horribly tedious, but I promise you it makes so much sense to get it done. Get compliant, make sure your data is as accurate as possible.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, each month we focus on a different marketing method. It could be email or SEO or Facebook ads. And each week I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. We've got a review, a lovely 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And when we get one of those, I love to give a shout out and a thanks to the person who has done it. So, huge thanks to G Bernini from the UK for putting this lovely 5-star review on Apple Podcasts for us. The title is Marketing Mastermind in Your Earbuds. You are a copywriter, G Bernini. I like that. And they say, in a sea of marketing podcasts, this one stands out as a beacon of practical knowledge. Yeah, we like that. It's rare to find a show that so consistently delivers actionable advice from true e-commerce leaders. The hosts, The host's knack for drawing out concrete, implementable strategies from guests is remarkable. For anyone looking to sharpen their marketing skills and stay ahead of the curve, this show is an indispensable resource. Whoo! G Bernini, thank you so much for that. And thank you for leaving a review. If any of you out there want to be read out at the beginning of the episode, you know what to do. Head to keepopt.com/review to find out how to leave a review of the show. And you may be featuring on a future episode. This month, we are not covering a specific marketing channel. Rather, we are diving into that weird little world of attribution, analytics, and privacy. Things that seem like they don't necessarily fit together, but they're all essential to get right if you want to profit in 2024 and 2025, and are all impacted by the ongoing developments in the privacy world. In the last two episodes, we've already looked at how to build the right analytics tech stack and also explored why you should be taking control of your first-party cookies to improve your performance. Well, this time we're going to be looking at how you make decisions about how to measure your attribution. This one's a little bit more confusing, but that's because it's a bit of a mindset shift taking on your attribution. But we have the absolutely brilliant Luke Carthy, who is helping many brands through the attribution challenges at the moment. And he'll be taking us through how we should be approaching attribution, the key things we should be looking at, key things we should set up to make the attribution work better. And he's got some brilliant insider tips at the end as well. So do make sure you listen right to the end to catch those, when I'll also share a couple of my thoughts at the very end too. Did you know that Safari deletes all of your website's visitor data every 7 days? Since Apple deprecated third-party cookies, most brands' retargeted audience size has been slashed by 40%. Amerce fixes this in just one click. The Amerce first-party data app extends your data tracking to 1 year instead of 7 days, automatically adding 40% more customer data to your existing email flows and paid ads audiences. Brands with Amerce installed see 20% more email revenue and a 40% increase in event match quality across Meta and Google. It literally takes just 15 minutes to install, and you never have to do anything after. Just let the revenue roll in. Sign up for your 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE. In this episode, I'm chatting with attribution, analytics, and privacy expert Luke Carthy. Luke started his e-commerce career client-side, and then after being invited to speak at MozCon 2019, he decided to go it alone. He now spends his days helping his clients deliver sustainable e-commerce growth with SEO and CRO, which at the moment includes helping me. Yes, Luke has spent the summer helping me with the ecommercetech.io rebuild, making sure our SEO, analytics, and cookie stuff is bang on. Hello, Luke.
Hi, Chloe. That was a pretty awesome intro. Thank you very much. But yeah, it's been a pleasure working with you on that project. We're recording this in advance. It hasn't gone live yet, so I'm hoping that...
Right. If you find some weird edits, people, you will know what happened. But no, it's been very cool to properly get to grips with it all off and have you making sure we haven't left any stones unturned, which if I was trying to DIY, it would have been the case. So yeah, it's been fascinating. And you got rid of my spam traffic problems, which fundamentally is worth the plug on its own. But anyway, we're not here to talk about my website rebuild. We are here to talk about attribution. But before we get into that, there's so much going on at the moment in the analytics attribution privacy space. You're talking to a lot of brands about it. What are they asking you about the most? What's got the brands worried in this space at the moment?
Yeah, it's a big old kind of dumpster fire of way too much data and equally at the same time, almost also not enough. But two big kind of pockets that jump out. One is, why the heck do I have so much direct traffic? Which is always kind of like a bit of a red flag. Or secondly, why do I have so much unassigned traffic? And they are different, just to kind of make that clear. A lot of people kind of mix them up. But they're two big problems that brands don't really want to have. So they're kind of two things that consistently come to my inbox of like, how do I fix this? This is a problem. Loads of direct. Is it accurate? Or people just actually have a massive hunch that attribution just isn't sitting right. You know, if they're sending an email and the email traffic isn't really going up, something's not quite right and as they expect it to be. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll come on to this later, but it's kind of like attribution is like the end of the funnel. But if you've got the wrong stuff coming in at the beginning of the funnel, your attribution's meaningless. So when you've got like 80% of my traffic's direct, I don't think that's right. Or it's all unattributed. What's gone wrong? It can be like the pee in the bed for the... Why did I use that? It's just ridiculous.
I was going to say, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to listen for this because I've never heard this saying in my life. It sounds like it could be the start of something brilliant.
I'm not even going to edit that out, everybody. You can enjoy that ridiculousness of Chloe. The princess with the pee in the bed, right? So I'm talking about an actual vegetable where the princess and the pee, and she could feel the pee, so she knew there's something wrong with the bed. And it's not even an idea that stacks up in what I'm trying to say. But what I'm trying to say, everybody, is it's like the early warning system. If your direct traffic is way wrong, then you know that you probably got a more fundamental problem with how your analytics is tracking. Is that what you find when you're solving this for people, like that there's a bigger problem within it? Or is it just they've got a bit of misattribution?
Absolutely. It kind of alludes to a bigger problem. Like if attribution is part of the diagnostic, right? So it may not be the be all and end all, but if you've got a huge amount of direct traffic, maybe there's events or tracking things that aren't put in properly, or there could be a bunch of issues. UTMs are broken, things aren't firing when they need to, compliance isn't there. For me, I see it as you start thinking, okay, if attribution's off, there's a good chance that there's other things that aren't quite right at the same time. But equally, saying that, sometimes a lot of direct traffic is actually okay. But it very rarely is. So it doesn't automatically, a high amount of direct traffic doesn't automatically mean there's a problem. So to give you an example, let's say something's gone completely viral on social media and it gets shared around, particularly on iOS, right? You are going to have a big old pocket of direct because Apple and they're kind of, ripping everything off in terms of attribution. That's going to happen. But for most people, where you have a good, healthy mix of traffic, an over attribution of direct traffic is typically a problem.
Yeah, or you've got like suddenly done you've been on TV campaign, or you've got a catalogue that's landed and people have come direct to your URL. They've not come via an online thing. So yeah, like you say, it can be a good one. But if the only marketing you're doing is Google Ads or email marketing and you've got loads of direct, it's probably a problem.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's what people are thinking about at the moment and what you're getting asked about. Which leads very much into attribution, because if attribution is about allocating the sale to the right thing, whether that be country or traffic source or whatever, then if we don't know what our traffic source is and we've not got the right data in the beginning, we're not going to be able to attribute. So why is attribution a big topic at the moment? Let's go big with this question, Luke.
Why is it a big topic? So I feel like it's always been a big topic, but all eyes are on it because of compliance and that horrendous four-letter acronym, GDPR, which makes it even more difficult to get right, particularly around Google Analytics. But to not get into the weeds of that and send people to sleep, the reason why it's so important is because data is now more valuable than it was before. Before it was easy. Kind of say, I want to say 5 years ago, but I probably think it might even be a longer period than that. But we'll just say, look, ballpark 5 years ago, attribution was easy. We didn't really have any of these cookie pop-ups happening. We didn't have to get consent. Apple were kind of a lot more lenient on what products was able to share data. And everyone was just throwing pixels and kind of cookies everywhere. Nowadays, particularly in Europe, it's a lot more sophisticated, a lot more restricted. And now there is a lot more unknowns and kind of machine learning and estimates and aggregate to kind of get a picture as to what's happening. So that's kind of why attribution is really important. But on top of that, particularly in the e-commerce space, the million-dollar question that brands have, whether you're in actually e-com, SaaS, whatever it is, what traffic sources are driving my sales, leads, revenue, insert, you know, KPI here? And on top of that, attribution is nowhere near as clear an answer as it was before. So to very briefly kind of explain what I mean with that, go back to 5 years ago, attribution was fairly straightforward. You saw something online, you might do a bit of research, go ahead and purchase it. Cost of living crisis, lots of content to digest, lots of different platforms to look at. The amount of touch points that people take before they, you know, when they first look at an item or make an inquiry, through to, so first look at an item or website and then make an inquiry or purchase, is substantially longer. And all the different types of content we need to go away and digest. There's reviews, there's testimonials, there's lots of independent kind of feedback and forums to look at, then you've got communities. It's aggressive. So we've gone from the days of, oh, paid ads drives my sales. Oh, organic drives my sales. Oh, email drives my sales. To now, a multifaceted kind of a bit of a hot pot of different channels being responsible for a sale. And that makes the whole thing so much more complicated.
It's kind of like the perfect storm, isn't it? All those changes we've seen in the privacy space and with the switch from Google Universal to Google Analytics 4 has kind of made people go, ask the questions they always should have been asking, yeah. Find out they don't like the answers, then try and work out how to make sense of it all. And then at the same time, we've had this whole economic situation that's led to this switch from just grow, grow, grow to profit, profit, profit. And if you want to do profit, you've got to have reliable numbers to give you an ROI on those individual channels, but also that decent picture of the whole thing. And as you were just outlining there, if we've got multiple channels that are driving the same sale, we've really got to understand what's going on. Otherwise, we accidentally turn off something that was, we think, was appalling, but actually 2 or 3 months down the line, we realize may have been the source of all the gold.
Yeah. Yeah, or the inverse of that, which is equally as dangerous, right? So you think something's doing incredibly well, you turn the volume up on it, and actually nothing really changes. But one thing I guess is really important with the world of acquisition, just to put this to bed immediately, is just like with anything, CRO, SEO, paid ads, you know, anything in a digital discipline, in fact, anything really in terms of skilled work, it's very rarely a silver bullet solution, right? So you can't go into a business and say, oh, all of your sales come from email. Therefore, everything else you can scrap, right? Stop spending money on ads, stop organic, stop your TV campaigns, just throw all of your money at email. Now, it doesn't mean you won't make any money from email, but it does mean that each of those channels will supplement email along the way, or supplement the session, or supplement the user. So we need to kind of move away from this channel A drives sale B and look at it more of a pattern of holistically. We look at patterns of acquisition. So people mainly discover us via, say, organic. And that could be via the blog. I'll give you a perfect example I'm working with on the client right now is like, what's a feed a puppy? What's the best feed for a puppy? What's the best kind of routine for a new dog, right? That is someone at the very early stages of considering potentially rehoming a puppy or taking a puppy home. That's SEO, that's content, that's organic, that's Reddit, that's Quora, that's TikTok, all sorts of things. Then as you get through, you then start thinking about, okay, you might sign up for newsletters, you might download some resources, you might subscribe to some YouTubers, you might purchase some premium products somewhere. Then you move around, you narrow down breeds and all sorts of stuff. Then you go away and make a purchase online for dog food, maybe 4 or 6 weeks later, or whatever that's going to be. All of those touch points contribute to that sale. It wasn't just the user decided to click an email and buy dog food without any of the context, right? So Then, of course, you've got the mixture of so many different competitors and so many different distractions and media outlets that are all pushing information. It's nowhere near as simple as channel A drives sale B. And we need to stop obsessing. The irony of this whole podcast is, I'm about to say, we need to stop obsessing over single channel acquisition because it creates chaos and blindness and a, you know, kind of like a red herring situation.
Well, I think the other thing we really need to point out to everybody is you're not going to get to the end of this and go, right, I need this attribution method and everything too, first click, last click, something else. That also isn't the case anymore, is it? We can't just go, for everybody, this is the correct method.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think to give yourself a real sense of your customers and your clients and your kind of target audience, just think about the last memorable purchase you would have made as part of a digital channel. And even if it was offline, whether that's a new laptop or just like a new pair of trainers or whatever that might be, it's very unlikely, unless it's something that is something you need and it's a repeat purchase, that you've gone through one channel to purchase it. And I myself am guilty of that. I'm already considering a new laptop for work because mine's on the way out. I'm already looking at reviews. I'm already looking at, you know, YouTubers, reading documentations, how well I can take things apart and upgrade bits and pieces and all that sort of stuff, which is important. Because when you're spending money, particularly in today's market, you are more conscious of that money you're spending and you want to scrutinize it and make sure it's the right investment to make. You know, so I am going to go through probably 15, probably even more different touch points before I go ahead and make a purchase. But you can guarantee my last click attribution is probably going to be direct because I'm just going to go to apple.com/UK and buy a MacBook. But it's not going to be, that's not what, you know, would actually driven me to do that. Apple's an exception because they're a beast of a company. But
it's like in a similar way at the moment, I'm looking for a new tablet to take away with me for work. And I use Android, and the problem you have when you buy Android is the security updates expire. Unlike Apple, it updates everything forever. But with Android, at some point, Google stops supplying security updates for your piece, which if you're just simply playing games and watching telly, it doesn't matter so much. But if you're using it for work like I am, you will. So finding that data is quite hard. So a part of my journey for trying to find the next work tablet involves asking Gemini, because I'm a Google girl, to find me this tablet. When will the security update stop? So I'm going to be using an AI algorithm to help me with this, which you have essentially, unless the AI algorithm gives me the link to your website and I go and buy, it may have pulled your content in my journey, but you have no way of tracking that at all. It's like a whole other world. But let's not go, I'm about to take us down an AI rabbit hole. Let's not do that. So Luke, if we're not saying you need this attribution method, and we're not saying you're going to be able to say, yes, this is my winning channel, what is the thing we have to do? Is it as simple as taking a proactive approach to trying to looking at our attribution? Is that our job? Are we trying to, as people who are brand side, are we trying to find the attribution mix for our channel, or the attribution rule set for our business? What's our outcome when we go, I'm going to take control of my attribution? What's the thing we have to achieve?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So for me, I like to focus on two key areas when we think about acquisition. One is discovery. So first user. Now, first user comes with all sorts of nuance. And with everything in data, you can scrutinize it and rip it to pieces and put it under a magnifying glass and say it's wrong, right? That's the beauty of science. But, you know, first user is, for me, a really interesting channel to take a look at, because that allows you to understand, where did the user first find out about your site? And that will give you an idea as to where maybe you catalyze and start to think about investing more cash to get more of that traffic, right? So going back to the example I mentioned earlier about thinking about a new dog, you're going to start researching breeds, equipment, crates, trainers, all that sort of stuff. What is the stuff that got people to your front door? Not necessarily a purchase, they didn't do anything, but how did they find out about you in the first instance? What was the catalyst? Then I like to think about the end, and the end being when the conversion actually happened. Now, a conversion doesn't have to be the ultimate end goal. It doesn't have to be a fully converted link. It doesn't have to be a purchase, but it has to be something of value, right? So for an e-com site, it could be getting as far as the checkout, but not purchasing. Obviously, the holy grail is the purchase. But what about signing up for something, or downloading a resource, or signing up for a newsletter to get a discount code? They're all kind of macro conversions. Take a look at those. Now, in my experience, and this isn't the same for everyone, last click is, in my experience, has almost always been paid, right? So this is why paid gets so much love, because you look at your attributor reports and think, oh, paid's driving all the money, man. Bringing all the business in, that's what we're going to throw all the money at. But in reality, that is sometimes blinded, because what that shows you is, yes, although paid drove the final click, they initially discovered your brand and were kind of interested in having to browse around and looking online and reading reviews and, you know, understanding your social profiles. In the middle of that, paid was just the final thing. And the reason why paid is normally the final thing is one of two things. One, the brand is bidding on the brand, which is questionable at the best of times. It makes sense in some cases, doesn't in other. It's a constant kind of like argument in the world of paid, whether you bid on your own brand or not. Or secondly, you're Googling something that's so horrendously competitive, organic has no chance unless you're a massive player. So a perfect example of this is, to go into your point, I don't know, let's say Samsung tablets, right? You're not going to get Joe's Electronics from around the corner right for that, right? It's going to be Amazon and probably Best Buy from the US and Currys and Tesco and all that sort of good stuff. So if you do get the sale as a smaller retail, there's a good chance that that paid has got that. But I think to come full circle on the answer to the question, it's looking at how people found you and the end point, and then looking at the nuance in the middle and seeing how that impacts what's going on. So I like to look at patterns rather than absolute data. And I think that just makes it easier to understand how attribution can behave on your site, rather than going, again, channel A drove sale B.
I am not going to rise to the bait of your don't bid on your brand point. I am going to keep us on attribution, because I have the feeling you and I could debate that probably for the rest of the day.
Absolutely.
And maybe another podcast, maybe a webinar. Should you bid on brand?
Should you bid on brand?
It'd be a good job we're all in different rooms if we did that. It could become quite heated. What I like about what you've just outlined from the attribution standpoint is that fundamentally we've got to take a more open-minded approach to attribution and look at what the trends are and what the picture looks like in our business by looking at not just a last click, but looking at the different attribution models we've got access to, but also considering those key points in the customer journey. How did the new users reach our site? What's driving people's first interaction? And, you know, when you're talking about the puppy example, long lead time. So it's probably going to be very different to when the purchase comes, and there's going to be a lot more touch points. For other businesses, it's going to be an awful lot shorter and they'll get more first visit purchases. But then to look at those key points during it, which throughout my career has always befuddled me why we don't spend more time looking at email signups, you know, and how we drive those and so on and so forth. So it's not even two-dimensional anymore. It's kind of three or four-dimensional activity we want to try and get a grip on. Luke, I'm hoping you've got some advice for us in this, because I think this is the sort of thing which you could spend 2 or 3 hours looking at as a marketing manager. If you believe you've got all the right data coming in, you've got everything tracking correctly, and you look at it from all these different angles, you could spend 2 or 3 hours looking at it, but not come out with any answers or decisions or things that are going to take you further forward. So how do we make sure, when we're delving into this potential time suck, that we actually come out of it with something usable and that we can use again and again over time to keep us pushing things forward in the business?
Yeah, that's a really good question, actually. So sort of tangible ways you can pull some meaningful insights for attribution acquisition. So for me, there's two things. One is to use the user ID parameter in GA4. So that's Google side. From a Meta Facebook side, there's something called Conversion API, which really helps to blend users together and grabs loads of data from customers to try and attribute them together for better user reporting. I'll explain why in a second. All the main platforms have them. TikTok's got one as well. Microsoft has one and Google has one. But the reason why those things are important is because they allow the platforms to better understand users across the web. So when we think about a retailer, the retailer only has access to acquisition data and attribution data when they're on that site. There's a lot of activity and a lot of noise that we, as e-commerce people or website owners, don't see. And that's all the social media stuff, all the stuff on Instagram, the likes, the shares, the, you know. So the conversion API helps to create a better understanding of how a user is on your site and what they do offsite. So that helps with being able to get a more holistic view of attribution for the greater web, which helps in general. User ID, the reason why that's really important is because Google for users as a metric in Google Analytics is only based on device, right? So if you access acmechairs, for example.com on your laptop and you're in, you know, you as the same person, but you're out and about having a coffee and you go on your mobile phone and do the same thing, GA4 will see that as two separate users. But what we want Google to understand is that you are using multiple devices and to attribute all of that attribution data to you as an individual user. User ID can massively help with that. And that's why having things like email signups and kind of softer conversions is wonderful, because we start to get data, we start to get email addresses, first names, all that sort of good stuff, and we can pass it all to Google so that we get a better holistic view of that person as a user.
So Luke, just to be super clear here, we're talking about taking the data we have as a first party data owner, the email addresses we've been given, the data we've collected on our website, and then passing that back to third party providers to give us a more joined up data experience. That's what you're talking about.
That's it. You've got it. Now, there is, just to put a caveat to that, there is a massive amount of legal red tape and compliance and things that you need to do to so to say, follow whatever laws and practices are in your country and so on. But that helps on the one side of things. And that's more around ads and bidding and that sort of good stuff. And then the user ID is specific to GA4 and specific to your attribution reports. And the idea is when somebody logs in, regardless whether it's the same device or a different device, Google then knows, this is the same person. So that I want to book it into one kind of piece of advice. The second piece of advice is there's an incredible underutilized report in GA4 that does a lot of this stuff for you. Should have probably started with that one, really.
yeah, people are going, there's a one report I need to look at. Luke, why didn't you tell me that? So what is this magic report we need to be getting to grips with?
Okay, so as per GA4, and it's been difficult, it's actually in the advertising section. So if you go to the advertising reports or advertising menu in GA4, and then go to attribution and attribution paths, what that does is give you that exact thing we've been talking about, which is attribution trends. So early touch points, what they call mid touch points, and then late touch points in terms of leading to conversion. So there you can get an idea of how people find you. The kind of fluffy stuff in the middle of what channels they might be exploring when they're kind of in the purchase funnel but haven't committed. And then late touch points is more towards the end of like actually making the purchase, actually committing. So that can give you a really good picture as to how your transactions are influenced by those key channel groups.
So that starts to give us some understanding of what's going on. So then we can start drilling deeper and working out what we need to report on, what we need to watch to help us work out what levers to pull. So it kind of sounds like it's a very good starting point.
It is a really good starting point. And that is a good report to show stakeholders as well. Like if you've got your channel specific owners, you know, we normally have a head of SEO and maybe a head of paid or maybe even a head of acquisition that's very obsessed with last click attribution. We all know it's a thing. This attribution pass report can really help to add nuance and kind of add some tactility to, well, actually, attribution is way more complicated than looking at one channel for a sale. It's actually a broad set of touch points, right? But on top of that as well, that same report will give you the average number of days before a conversion happens and also the number of touch points that it takes before a conversion happens, so how many visits typically it will take. And all that information can help you to start to get a feel for, if you're selling multivitamins that are like relatively inexpensive, it's probably quite short. But if you're selling, you know, £250 designer shirts, it might be a little bit longer. That can help you with a lot of data to get your head around your attribution modeling.
Excellent. So Luke, is there anything we failed to tell the audience they need to know as they're working out their attribution? Anything, or have we covered all the big points?
There is, which is any attribution data is only going to be as good as the data that is being collected. Right. So what I mean by that is if you happen to be in Europe, if you still haven't got website compliant to consent mode, and I know it's horribly tedious, but I promise you it makes so much sense to get it done. Also, you're breaking the law kind of if you're not. But get compliant, make sure your data is as accurate as possible. So many of my clients, it's incredible to say this in 2024, but are still not tracking e-commerce in GA4. If you're not doing that, please do that. We haven't got video here, but Chloe's eyes just popped out of her head when I said that. So.
Yes, they did. Okay, cool. Thank you for that, Luke. Just a couple of super important things for you all to do there. Turn on the e-commerce tracking and set it up properly and make sure you are complying with, especially if you're in the UK, the Google cookie consent thing, which we will be covering in another one of the episodes of this mini series. So keep your ears peeled for that one. Right. Thank you, Luke. It has been brilliant picking your brains about all things attribution. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Luke's insider tips on attribution, analytics, privacy, and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your businesses. Did you know that Safari deletes all of your website's visitor data every 7 days? Since Apple deprecated third-party cookies, most brands' retargeted audience size has been slashed by 40%. Amerce fixes this in just one click. The Amerce first party data app extends your data tracking to 1 year instead of 7 days, automatically adding 40% more customer data to your existing email flows and paid ads audiences. Brands with Amerce installed see 20% more email revenue and a 40% increase in event match quality across Meta and Google. It literally takes just 15 minutes to install, and you never have to do anything after. Just let the revenue roll in. Sign up for your 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE. Okay, Luke, so far we've gone deep into the hugely confusing world that you've helped us understand much, much better of attribution. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole world of attribution, analytics, privacy, basically anything e-commerce that you think the audience need to know about. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with attribution, etc., which of course includes everything we've already been talking about. Luke, are you ready for the insider tips?
I'm ready.
Cool. Let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
All right. I like this one. I would say use a mobile phone to buy something or fill out a lead or whatever the action is that's important to you in digital, and then get someone dear to you who isn't particularly great with technology to do exactly the same thing. It is really enlightening to see how people struggle and don't understand the things that you do. It helped me massively because, of course, I have a bias. I've been in digital for so many years. You get used to certain things certain ways, and you take things that are complicated suddenly become easy because I do it every day, all day. But someone who may be older, who hasn't got the patience, who doesn't really shop online, it is wonderful to just see how they use the web. And actually the opposite way as well, the younger generation, like my son searches on Google Images. He never uses web results. And I just find that whole thing fascinating. So sometimes getting an alternative perspective on an experience can be really enlightening and help you to make things better.
Yeah, as an industry, we are so frequently bad at never looking at it on mobile. If I was running an e-commerce brand right now, I would have an office iPhone and an office whatever the most popular Android is at the moment. The team should be using all the time to view all our marketing always.
Yeah.
But I mean, like £300, £400, £500 and you'd have it all sorted anyway. You only need to sign it up to Wi-Fi, as you don't even need an account for it. But before I go off on that one, now, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Right. So my favorite thing, I've become a bit preachy about this for good reason, which is site search. Basically, sort it out. There are way too many gaps in the world of site search. We focus so much on bringing traffic to the site, acquisition bug again, but we don't often think about what happens when people get there. It's just more people in the bucket seems to be the way that we want to prioritize things. But actually, site search is wonderfully brilliant because it tells you the demand of what people are looking for. But equally, if people can't find what they're looking for when they want to spend money and want to spend time on your site, that is infuriating. So I have an example. There is a retailer out there, big brand. I won't mention the name, but they're huge and they've been around for years in the world of gifts and so on. If you go on their site, and you search for hubby, you had about 3 products. If you search for husband, you had about 65. And that is because the website did not understand that hubby meant husband. Of course it wouldn't, because it's, you know, hasn't got the intelligence to work that out. So synonyms and making things easy for customers is massively paramount. Also, within reason, you're kind of in full control of it. So unlike paid search and these third-party platforms that we seem to pump millions of pounds into, which we have very little control over, why don't we spend more time and energy on things that we directly have at our fingertips that we can influence quickly? So yes, site search.
And there are so many brilliant pieces of tech out there that you can plug into your website that will solve this and give you the tools to solve it. It's there's no excuse. There is a tool that will work for you. And my one, which drives me insane, is Bogroll. Supermarket websites where you can't search for Bogroll. You have to put in toilet roll. Life is too short to type out toilet roll, people. Fix it. Right. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
There is. Wix actually have an incredible blog full of all sorts of stuff. It's written by a bunch of paid writers. So you know it's good stuff. They vet and actually ask for the best from people. I've written for them before, and it's been difficult for the right reasons to get things published. It's been back and forth and edited and include this. So Wix is a great blog for that sort of stuff. Outside of that, there is the, oh gosh, what's the website called? KeywordInsights.io, I forget, and they're going to kick me for getting that wrong. But if you're thinking about keyword research or anything around the world of SEO and content and all that sort of good stuff, that is a wonderfully brilliant resource of complete free content. So those two sites I normally kind of push out for anyone that's getting started and wants to take it seriously.
So the two that we're talking about here are Wix.com, which is the Wix1.com, and KeywordInsights.ai, just to get Luke out of trouble with them. So Wix.com, W-I-X, and KeywordInsights.ai, which I haven't heard of before, so I'm probably going to lose the next hour of my life to that after we finish recording. Finally, Luke, though, it's crystal ball time. Dare you guess what's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
I think it's getting used to doing more with less. Compliance is a pain. Data is an issue. We already have car manufacturers being held accountable for experiences in cars, so like not having keyboards and simplifying digital experiences. I think, in my opinion, what's going to happen is we're going to get less and less visibility to data. It's going to be pay to play, and the big brands will have access to that information, and us kind of small guys, and when I say small, I mean we still turn over a big amount of cash, but we're not billion-pound corporations. But yes, I think data is going to continue to be the thing that feeds companies, and we're going to see less and less of it, whether that's government-driven with compliance or whether that's corporate-driven with greed and selling access to certain bits of data. I worry about it. I think about, if we think about the transition of UA to GA4 and what that looks like again in another 5 to 10 years, that's going to be a whole different shift. We think about the data that we're able to get from Facebook and TikTok and these sort of platforms, and the US trying to ban TikTok and all this sort of good stuff that's happening. Yeah, who knows? But I just think there's greater pressure on good data is what I would say.
We've been talking about the privacy legislation changes, and it's both the legislative and what the big tech companies are choosing to do about it that affect all of us. And the angle which affects us seems to change every year, and it's only... I think we're only at the beginning of the shifts that's going to make. And yeah, getting used to needing to own our own data and take responsibility for that is clearly a big shift that not everyone's yet on board with. But it's also getting used to not being able to access the data, which I think the first thing we've seen in that has been not being able to do all the clever targety stuff in the ad platforms, because they're not letting us see it. They've got it, but we can't see it anymore. And so I think you're spot on there, Luke. Lots more changes to come. We're nearly at the end of the show, though, so please let the listeners know where, if they want your help with this minefield, they can get in contact with you.
So what you want to do is go to many different channels and click on my website from as many channels as possible. So when I look at my attribution reports, I've got a beautifully colourful lead gen charts. But no, in all seriousness, you can find me in at lukecarthy.com. Just search for my name. You'll find my website, Twitter, LinkedIn. I'm pretty active on those platforms. And yeah, feel free to reach out. Or I'm at a conference somewhere normally within a quarter or so. So if I'm talking about anything you're interested in, do come along, buy the ticket, support the event, Sometimes they're free, which is even better. So yeah.
There we go. Track him down, people. Get him to answer your questions. Luke, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. As always, it's brilliant catching up with you. So thanks for being on again.
Awesome. Cheers, Chloe.
So just what is the answer to your attribution woes? Well, it is to stop thinking of them as attribution woes, to understand that it's a movable feast, that it's not as simple as that's the number, that is perfect, that will forever be perfect. So we've got to get used to understanding the nuance, understanding we need to look at it in different ways depending on what the questions are we're asking at the time. And you know, we like the ones and the zeros, don't we? We like the definites. There are no definites anymore. So loads of great insight there from Luke. And the two key things to do, I suppose, is to make sure you are feeding the right data into your analytic systems, and then to feed as much data into the systems you're using as possible, whether those are your ad channels or whether those are Google Analytics and your other analytics channels, because you might be using something other than Google. To help you do that, of course, we had last week the episode with Ichi talking about what they're doing at Immerse to help you with your first party cookie data. If you haven't heard that one yet, scroll back up. A very easy way of solving some of these problems. Well, you can get the links to all those things we just discussed with Luke and the full transcript of this episode, our notes on it and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short links. Just put keepopt.com/ the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll be redirected straight to the right page on the website. And when you get there, add yourself to our email list, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then do check out our other episodes with Luke in episodes 6, 30, 50 and 99. Yeah, this is his fifth appearance, because I think those will help you get to grips with the other things we were talking about in this episode. And if you want to get all our attribution episodes, then either scroll up your feed to find things that start with the word attribution, or you can use the short link keepopt.com/attribution to find all our dives into the confusing world of attribution. Please do tell your fellow marketers about this show, because I create it to help as many marketers as possible to improve the performance of their e-commerce marketing. So have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Join top brands to gain 60% more tracked customer profiles and a 40% revenue boost in Klaviyo, Meta and Google Ads. Sign up for a 30-day free trial via keepopt.com/immerse. That's keepopt.com/AIMERCE.